Certain, in the words of Christy Bond, tunes that clearly needs to be maintained right up to the final beat from that point of view. I think, Christy, you'd agree that was one of them, wasn't it?
That was a tune. That was a tune.
Emma would agree from that point of view. Andy, like you were just so pleased. You said, is this Eden? What a wonderful way to actually sort of come out of the news, were you not, Andy?
Yes, absolutely. It was phenomenal.
Exactly. And Eleanor, what did you make of Come What May?
I, too, found it to be a tune.
A genuine tune. Which
yeah.
is one of the reasons why we're delighted to feature a whole 50% of Eden. It's the fabulous Lucy Campbell. How are you, Lucy?
Hello! I am great. How are you?
Oh, delighted to hear your good self in full voice, it has to be said. And I've got a slight sort of guilty confession to start off with. I don't know why I sort of asked you for your surname when we're looking, because it's under the bat, it's like Lucy Campbell. You could put the phone down, Lucy. Outrageous. Hasn't done his research. Hasn't found out my
Terrible.
Surname. Exactly.
Terrible.
Obviously.
What's your surname? Smith, isn't it?
Thank you, Lucy Campbell. Moving on. This is a classic example of social media acting for the benefit of all. And indeed, the mutual friend, the mutual connection between Facebook. Christy, are you okay, though? Have you just fallen off a chair with the emotion of having Lucy Campbell online?
She was too excited.
Okay. I was trying to prevent Emma's headphones from getting pulled off by my chair. I just smacked my head.
You don't want to see what's happening in the studio, Lucy. It's carnage. That's all I can
say. I can only imagine.
But you were introduced to obviously Libby Johnston by a mutual friend through Facebook before meeting for the very first time on St. Lucia in the Caribbean.
That's correct. Yes, so that is completely correct.
If you're going to meet somebody on Facebook, why not go to the Caribbean?
Oh, this is the thing, you know. I mean, we started talking through Facebook, and we were obviously talking for quite some time before we eventually did meet in St. Lucia. I mean, and it was a great place to meet. It was. And we were both out there independently doing shows, which is quite strange in itself. And, we met. We had a can of Coke. We just shared one can, you know, to really build that bond. And
other fizzy drinks are available. And we started off with Cameron Tilbury from Nashville talking about Mexican Coke, which apparently is legal. But never mind, that's another line entirely.
There we go. So it kind of went from there. It was wonderful. Libby was living in Glasgow at the time, and I was living in Leicestershire, so we'd never met
until we met
in the Caribbean.
I have to say this, because obviously Libby, unable to join us for the conference call today, but somebody has to civilise the Scots, so you're obviously in that role, Lucy, so well done. And obviously Campbell is a good Scottish name, and we appreciate it.
It certainly is. It certainly is.
Excellent. 20 years' experience of the performing industry. You've toured with, obviously, the show Eden for the past 4 years, performances in Asia, mm-hmm. Russia, Brazil, the United States of America. You've supported, this is where I thought it was interesting, you've also supported artists such as Steps.
That was prior to Eden.
Yeah. Atomic Kitten.
Yeah.
Little known fact, it was a Midweek driver, Rosalind Anderson, who actually put together Atomic Kitten when she actually was in charge of the Belfry Witches. She was looking for a young upcoming girl band together, and they got a couple of Scouse folk together, and hence Atomic mm-hmm. Kitten came through. That was back in the 80s, actually. There we are.
Magical
tale.
There we are.
Exactly. So it's also, and just generally wonderful. So Andy, you were very impressed with what you heard from Eden, and in particular, obviously, the Metallica piece that you've been
accessing. Yes, indeed. Yes, I'm curious as to where the Steps link and everything comes in.
Steps of Metallica.
That wonderful Songbird rendition that you both do, that was phenomenal. I really, really did enjoy that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the wicked game aspect is something I think we'll come to in a few seconds. But are you choking with the emotion of it all, Christy? Are you okay now?
Christy just completely malfunctioning. She's just having
a really bad experience right now.
There are some who might say it's karma for the headphone issue, but never mind. Emma, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, I mean, what kind of made you interested in classical style music, Lucy? Was there a particular point in your upbringing that sort of inspired you to that side of music?
Well, I was always brought up doing musical theatre right from being a child, and so I started my training quite young. But then kind of throughout my kind of adolescent years, I kind of rebelled a little bit and just decided I was just going to join pop bands and rock bands. And so I stopped my training for quite some time. And I was in a kind of heavy metal band, which is where the Metallica influence comes
yes.
in, for quite a few years. And then I thought I probably should get a proper job. So I went and got some training from a classical tutor who was just fantastic. Her name's Jana. And she was just wonderful. And she opened up this world of classical singing to me. And it's just something that from there on I wanted to pursue, because I just loved it, absolutely loved it, and it's so nice to be able to mix it with kind of my roots, which are in pop and rock. And Libby, she trained in musical theatre and classical, and it was just a natural progression for her to do that. But she also has the love for the rock, so it's all good for us.
I was beginning to think it was going to be sort of how are we going to actually squeeze in a little trailer from our cheeky friends, because it was Kev Pascoe who actually put his head through the door a few moments ago and said, can I be cheeky and actually promote the rock train? Obviously it's going to be fairly straightforward, isn't it, to move from classical to rock. Good stuff there.
Nice little segue.
We even start moving to that area, I need to ask you at this particular stage, Lucy, Wicked Game Melancholia, which is obviously a wonderful thing. We've got the video here. We might try and run it simultaneously in the studio, which is quite interesting. You can try this at home, actually, if it's safe to do so. EdenGB.com to go to from that. Or we can go to I Dreamed a Dream. Which one would you want to go for at this particular stage of this
little Personally.
Yes? Yeah, yeah.
I would go for Wicked Game.
Really? Wicked Game it is then, in every sense of the word. Stay with us. We'll be back with Lucy Campbell from Eden after this. I thought, Andy, they could switch from that to cover versions of Metallica, could you? But they can, because they're good singers.
Well, actually, there's a whole reason for the overlap between classical music and rock and roll.
Who would have thought exactly so? Your thoughts about that latest wonderful Eden track?
I absolutely love all the music I've heard so far, and it's definitely going to go on my writing playlist.
It's going on Christy Byrne's writing playlist, and Christy is a young novelist who's about to launch her first novel throughout the world. Christy, shameless plug for this, because who knows, Eden might do the soundtrack for the motion picture when they're out.
Yes, let's do it.
I'm very excited about this. Let's do it.
Yeah, there we are. And the name of the novel is?
The name of the novel is The Kiss That Killed Me.
It's about a mermaid.
Oh, fab. Yeah. You have to send us a copy. I'd love to read it.
You can go like my Facebook page.
You can like each other. Emma, what did we make of Eden?
I thought that was beautiful. Can I just say, Lucy, you've got a fantastic voice, and
thank you.
Just the harmonies, and that was just really beautiful. I loved it.
Andy, do you think you should look at Eden coming to the Jolly Brewer?
Absolutely, yes, indeed. You'd be welcome any time at all. Although I think as popular as you hopefully are now and will be, Mega. Then you should look at the Engine Shed and somewhere a little bit bigger.
Exactly, the Engine Shed. Yes, it's not a strange activity. It's part of the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Exactly.
Yes,
it's all very critical for my body. And Eleanor, what did you make of the tune?
I really loved it. I especially liked the one from Moulin Rouge because that's one of my favourite films. Mm. But I think that Eden's rendition should be on that film, really.
There we are. Kevin Pascoe,
I love the film.
Welcome back briefly to the Midweek Drive. You want to promote shamelessly the Rock Train and Rock Train Extra Carriage. Quickly, go ahead.
That's right. Shameless plugging. This Friday show, we are really pleased to say that we have a chat with British legends Thunder, who have just entered the top 10.
I can tell you're excited, Lucy. There's an intake of breath there.
I am. Yeah. I used to play with a guy that used to play bass for them, but I believe he got fired.
There we are.
Thunder have a new album called Wonder Days, which has just entered the top 10 in the UK national charts.
And you can drop that question in.
Yeah.
Lucy Campbell from the sensational singing band Eden used to know somebody who used to play with one of their band. Exactly.
And yeah, that's coming up. We've got a chat with them, plus some tracks from the album and some special acoustic tracks that they recorded for us. And also we have a session by 10-Foot Wizard, who recently played the Jolly Brewer a couple of weeks ago. They did a session for us here at the Siren upstairs. And we're very excited about that.
10-Foot Wizard. That's amazing.
Leave it.
Thank you for that, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
That's great stuff. You may now leave
Friday,
the studio.
Friday, 8 o'clock.
On Siren. And, of course, podcasts will be available as well from that point of view. Thank you for that, Lucy. True graciousness, Lucy, allowing your interview to be momentarily usurped there by the Rock Train. But, you know, we thought it's music. It's singing that song and all the rest of the sort of bits and pieces there.
We're all working together here, right?
Exactly.
It's all good.
Andy, questions for yourself.
Oh, well, I was just wondering, a few things. I have a cheeky question. So if you go to EdenGB.com, listeners, and you will see these two wonderful ladies wearing these two wonderful fantasy elvish kind of corsety things.
I was wondering
where I could get myself one of those.
Nice one.
And the other question was, I mean, are you obviously a fan of the overlap between rock and roll, heavy metal, and classical music? What about things like Apocalyptica, Yngwie Malmsteen, Evanescence? Are there any of those threads that maybe will have influenced you, or will work through your music in future, the Dream Theaters and so on? Are you going to do the whole big opera thing at some stage with a few electric guitarists and some long hairs in front of the orchestra, the whole S&M show, or that, by which I mean yes. Metallica's S&M?
Yeah, the Metallica show, yeah.
Just to clarify.
Yeah.
50 Shades of Grey is so
this
last year.
It's a whole
year.
50 different
Shades
conversation.
But yeah, I mean, would there be anything like that on the horizon? Because I will buy tickets if there are.
Yeah, well, we're always trying to progress where we're going with it. We do an Evanescence song in our live show. We do Bring Me to Life by Evanescence, and it is something we would love. There's one song in particular. I can't reveal what it is, but it's one song that we really, really would love to do, which is a huge rock song from maybe a few years ago. But yeah, it is something that we'd like to kind of maybe have a look at doing, but you know, right now we're kind of just pushing what we've got, but in the future it's definitely something that we'd love to do. Definitely.
Wonderful, fantastic, good luck to you. Thank you.
And Eleanor, now you've got the headphones back, any thoughts from yourself?
I don't know, I just really love the music. I can't wait to go home and kind of go on the website and listen to some more.
It's going
to
take us neatly round to Shane and
Sheila
Rimmer.
Oh, I like you. Yeah. You can come everywhere with me.
You've got an authentic sort of designated invitation. That's fantastic.
Well, I feel very privileged.
Coming up in a few moments, the voice of Scott Tracy. Keep your voices going. That's Shane Rimmer, of course, will be joining us on the show. Plus, of course, Phil Linus. And Anna from Jersey is going to be with us. Okay, it's not quite as exciting as St. Lucia, but I always have problems with that pronunciation. St. Lucia. Lucia, whatever. We need to ask you two final questions, though. Lucy Campbell from the sensational duo, Eden. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the Midweek Drive today?
Oh, it's been absolutely sensational. I've loved every second of it.
So can we possibly prevail upon your good self to join us in the not-too-distant future? Perhaps indeed with Libby to come back and keep us updated in terms of the sensational work that Eden is actually doing.
Oh, we'd absolutely love to. Libby and myself would both love to do that.
A round of applause for the fabulous Lucy Campbell.
And, you know, and one for you too.
Oh, there we are. And let's give Sue, your agent, a little round of applause as well, because she did. Yay, Sue! Go! Go! If only because she's one of the rare theatrical agents who actually writes and responds to emails at 7:30 a.m. in the morning, which I thought was unheard of in Britain. Wow. It's amazing.
That's actually amazing.
I can't promise Libby or I would be replying to that.
This is Eden. Time to say goodbye, but you will return. Yes!
We will. It's been a pleasure.
I felt that if we were introducing the legend that is Shane Rimmer after the legends that were Eden, of course, fantastic duo there, we needed them to give full force to Time to Say Goodbye just before we can actually say hello to Shane and Sheila Rimmer. How are you,
hello,
folks?
Hello, Alex.
Yay!
How nice. I thought we were tuned into the proms for a minute.
Sheila, as ever, a sort of perceptive comment that
comes
through.
Yeah, a bomb or
very, very impressive. Any sort of quick introductions for the benefit of your good souls and indeed listeners who might sort of think, who is he got in the studio today? Well, we have the delightful Emma Tinson.
Hello.
Hello.
Who actually has just revealed that she still has the box set of Thunderbirds on VHS.
Yes, somewhere.
VHS.
Wicked thing.
Exactly.
Yes, good.
It's got Blu-ray these days.
I know,
DVD,
I know. I'm so behind.
Digital, all sorts of things there. Christy, of course, who is the legendary Christy Bond.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah.
To you.
Exactly. Ellen O'Brien, who is just on her third show, but she's already settling down like a seasoned pro from Hull would do, really.
I hate that first season, don't you, when it comes at you?
Yes. And we also have from, well, I wonder if you can guess the accent, actually, Shane and Sheila, Andy Kerr. Andy, where I won't say where you're from, would you actually just say hello and see if they can guess the accent?
What about you? How's it going, lads? Lads and ladies.
I don't know if that came through at all.
Scotland.
I did live up there for a little while, so you're fairly close, but think Celtic nations, but not quite so far north.
Ireland.
That's the one, but a wee bit further north.
Northern Ireland.
Yeah, we
don't want to start a whole United Ireland campaign at 22 minutes past six.
I wouldn't even be part of it if you did.
There we have it. Let's turn to Andy first.
How could anybody who's British have such a strange accent as those who live in the north of Ireland?
It's a funny wee place I come from. It's wonderful.
We resume this next week and I'll talk to Sheila in the meantime. Is that all right?
Sheila, obviously you're prepping for heading up to Scarborough in a few moments, but meanwhile, Andy, questions from yourself.
Oh, I have many, many, many questions. Which was your favourite Thunderbird?
Scott. No, I'm not.
I know you were Scott. No. I mean, Thunderbird 1, Thunderbird 2, Thunderbird 3, Thunderbird 4.
That was not serious. I think the favourite one was Parker. I mean, he wasn't a Thunderbird, but he was in the group, and he was a delight right the way through the series. I don't know how he managed it all the time.
I like Scott best.
And you married him. That's important. Yeah. You know, he liked you so much. It's worthwhile. A couple of questions before we come back to yourself. Andy, from Ross Ironfield. And Ross is actually putting together some magical, wonderful things for the Facebook page for the Fabulous Telly Fantasy and Society, which, Sheila, you've already liked and have said more exciting news about that.
I've even put it on my Facebook page.
Well.
Wow. Yeah.
And if you're put on Sheila...
That's really organised.
Exactly. But Ross would like to ask your good self, Shane, what do you think of the new look, Scott Tracy, for the Thunderbirds Are Go series? And I'll just pull that up in terms of the for the team, because it launched, I believe, April the 15th. There's the new look, Scott Tracy.
Yeah.
Have you thoughts about that?
Well, I haven't really, because I've got nothing to base my thoughts on. I haven't seen a frame of the thing yet. I don't know. We had lunch with David Graham, who, you know, is Sprains and Parker.
Indeed.
In the original. And he wasn't very outcoming. But mind you, we didn't ask him a lot of things about it. It's apparently well, it's. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just thinking.
You're actually, just looking at the what you thought of the look of it. Have you looked at it?
I haven't looked at it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, he doesn't look at the computer.
That's understandable. Yeah. But your description of the character. I think it could be a description of your good self, Shane, because it actually says you are the team leader. You are fearless in action, and you are bold and decisive. A bold and decisive decision maker. So,
yeah. Oh, I like that one. Yeah. That's very good. Keep
well,
that one.
Well, so was Scott in a slightly gentler way, but he was also the leader of the pack of Thunderbirds, wasn't he?
He was, exactly.
In the original, yeah.
He was the person who got those, all the missions before everybody else, because Thunderbird 1 was the quickest Thunderbird. So he had to make the decisions as to which Thunderbirds were needed.
That's right.
Let's move on to the next question. It was very good, according to Ross Ironfield, and I would endorse this, to hear your good self, Shane, reprise the role of Scott in the recent Filmed in Super Mario Nation documentary. Was it difficult to get the character's voice right again after nearly 50 years?
No.
There you go.
It's a strange thing because, first of all, I when you grow up with a part like that sort of takes over your life for 2 or 3 years, it's rather indelible. I mean, this is my voice anyway. I didn't make a Scott Tracy voice, really. And it's just stayed, and so I mean, all the toil was out of the situation. I just liked the character terrifically well. I thought the scripts were great, and it allowed the voice to work as best you could hope for.
See, Christy, you might be sharing a panel with Shane Rimmer on the Telefantasy Society event on May the 6th. But questions for yourself as a young fantasy writer.
What's your favourite thing about Scott's character?
Well, the favourite thing, I think, without getting stultifyingly boring, he was in charge of things. And, I mean, he was one of the Thunderbirds. They're all this sort of same age. They came out of the same situation. So in order to take charge of one, it was sometimes a slippery path to walk, and I think he did it. I mean, you have to be issue orders. You have to grasp the situation before anybody else and know how to deal with it. And I think he did that well without alienating any of the other Thunderbirds.
He was also very obedient to his dad. Wow. Okay, Dad. Okay, Father. You know, whatever the old dad said, he... It was like,
let's face it, Sheila, it was the Kennedy clan put into a space setting.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. I mean, if you actually had Lady Penelope as Marilyn Monroe, you could have had a disaster on your hands.
Dear.
But thank you. You know, it's just, anyway, let's move on from that to the next question that Ross actually had. He understands, and I think he's correct, to know that Network will soon be releasing the original pilot of Space Police on DVD.
How exciting!
Yeah, exactly. The one with yourself and Catherine Chevalier in there, Shane. So great stuff there.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Who's releasing that?
That would actually be Network, I believe. That's sort of there. It should be coming through very shortly. It's the
Network or Netflix?
No, Network.
Network.
That's exactly.
And what that is.
We'll sort of work our way through that. In fact, I'm fairly certain I might actually put in an order for that already if I just
check.
Oh, that's
a lovely surprise.
It's under a thing called The Lost Worlds of Gerry Anderson. The Lost Worlds of Gerry Anderson.
Thank you.
Anyway, back to your good self, Shane. What are your thoughts about your own role as Lieutenant Brogan in that original pilot for Space Precinct back in the 80s? Okay, so do you have any recollections of working on the pilot and acting with Muppets or puppets? I don't know. It could have been a criticism that Ross heard. What the heck?
Which side of this are you on?
I loved it.
I thought Brogan came through pretty well. With most of the Anderson scripts, and Tony Barwick was a premium writer in practically all of them, I just found they're easy to do. Easy in that they're natural, and you're not trying to portray a part that you just don't have any kind of clue as to how to go on with it.
He's just a natural American policeman in space.
I didn't know I was
a spaced-out policeman.
again, once again, Sheila, you've called it absolutely right. Shane, of course, and Sheila will be available to meet in person at the sci-fi event in Scarborough, which is, of course, on the 14th and 15th of March. Still hopeful we might be able to get a little crew to come and sort of see you in Scarborough. We haven't actually been in touch with the organisers as yet. So that's at sci-fi-scarborough.co.uk. Then, of course, you've got Trowbridge at the Sci-Fi Southwest in Trowbridge Civic Theatre. And then 6th of May, Christy, what's happening on 6th of May?
It's the Telefantasy
Society and
Society,
University of Lincoln. Yes.
So you're going to be there.
On April the 6th?
May the 6th.
Oh, May the 6th, yes. But we have a date you don't know, which is the Bomber Command Memorial in Green Park are doing a photo shoot with a chap who's written a book on Gerry Anderson's older brother called Lionel. Have you heard of it, Patrick?
Oh, have we lost them completely? Have they cut themselves off in mid-flow?
No, we're here.
That's all right, yes. Carry on for a moment. We thought we'd had a problem with Thunderbird 5 and the telecommunication system.
That'll be a little later in the programme as a surprise.
No, but a man called Sean Fess has written a book, a huge long book, and all the technical details about the British pilots during the war that flew the Mosquitoes. And Gerry Anderson's elder brother, Lionel, was one of those, and he actually got killed in the war. Yeah.
Which, again, just shows that sort of interrelationship between reality, etc. Back to yourself, Andy. Quick question.
Mm. Well, I'm going to digress slightly from the Thunderbirds team so far and ask, if I may, any reminiscences from working on Dr. Strangelove, or what it was like to work with Peter Sellers or
Stanley Kubrick? Peter Sellers breaking his ankle or neck or whatever. And he fell
off
the
plane. Me a lot of options there. I did enjoy working with Stanley Kubrick probably more than just about any other director I ever worked for. He took a terrible chance, you know. I mean, the situation in Hollywood was every time Kubrick entered into a directorship of a picture, they didn't know whether to look at the screen or go for a drink, because although Kubrick was an absolutely brilliant director, actors loved him, writers loved him, everybody, the whole sort of colony of Hollywood writers and people who were integral in the production loved the way this man worked.
Did I say butt? No, I'm saying what is the butt?
You could give them their own show and they carry on regardless. It's genius.
Why didn't the people who pay for the
thing, I see, because he was always straining to go over the limits of what they wanted to keep protected, and he did quite a lot.
Shane, as you know, having worked with us since the 1980s, we try to do the same with these shows, and sometimes
you usually succeed. I mean, I think you're absolutely so daring.
Well, there you have it. Emma, the last two questions, please.
Yes, of course. Have you enjoyed your time on the Midweek Drive today?
Yes. I didn't know what I was saying. I heard everything you were saying, so it was a delightful few minutes. Thank you very much for it.
Fantastic. And will you be happy to join us again on another show anytime soon?
Yes, of course. I mean, so stay out of jail and be ready and present to go on the next one. That would be lovely.
Fantastic.
That sums the whole thing up perfectly, in every sense of the word.
Right.
Yeah, I feel we should be sort of heading up to the Thunderbirds thing. We've still got to squeeze in a little touch of Anna Lewis from Jersey and a whole heap of other... In fact, actually, Shane, do you have any particular musical artists you'd like us to dig out for you? So let's see if we can actually... Or Sheila, a musical choice. It's your choice. We've waited years for this. What would you like to see if we've got it in the computer? Sheila?
Okay, something from the Beatles. Scarborough Fair, as we're going to Scarborough.
Oh, well, I think that's Simon Garfunkel as opposed to the Beatles. I can't recall John, Paul, George and a couple
well,
of
like,
ever actually doing it.
I like
it.
Garfunkel, that's good.
Yeah, well, let's just see if we've actually got Scarborough Fair within here. I'm actually doing that
somewhere
wonderful
in
thing.
Somewhere in the system.
Typing the thing through, who knows, it might decide, well, it will, it's there. All we have to say is it's been selected by Shane and Sheila Rimmer, and obviously it has to come through. So, you know, that's the whole thing, you know, reliability, that's our middle name.
Ooh, well done.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair? parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. Tell her to make me a kind of shirt, a deep forest green, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Sparrow, and snow crested pine, without no sea.